All right, it's Carson Anderson on the road from Allen Park as there's Lions football practice today back on the practice field after their previous preseason game, scary Friday night, as we all know, and thankfully Maurice Norris is okay. And Scott, are you okay?
I'm fine, Doug. Thank you for asking.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
Good.
Are you okay?
I'm good. Yeah. Steamy. We'll set the scene here for you. We are, there's two practice fields in front of us. There is one to our slightly to our right and one to our left. Lions will be out here practicing starting at 10:30. And following practice, sometime around 12:30, Jared Goff will be stopping by. I hope to see him. You will see him. I'll explain all that later.
But hello, ladies.
We've got
cheerleaders just walked across.
Cheerleaders, yeah, they sure did. Anyway, so we're set up here. I'll tell you a little bit about what we're seeing when practice gets underway. But football's in the air, and it is it's back-ish. It's always sort of the taste of the preseason where you get excited. It's hard to get into the games. You do more player evaluation. You don't really care about the outcomes. There was one outcome we all cared about. I don't know what else could be said about the Maurice Norris thing that hasn't already been said. But one of the more surreal scenes ever is to see him on the field and them, the two teams, decide to snap the ball and let the clock drain for 14 minutes before the league called up and said, that's fine, we'll suspend the game after 8 minutes. Just, I don't know. I've never seen anything like that. Never seen anything like it.
Yeah, nor have I. You know, Tigers around that night too, and I'm flipping back and forth, and I missed the play when it happened live.
Yeah.
And so when I came back to the game and saw the scene, I was, well, this is not good. And then immediately went to social media to try to find out what happened. And I did. In the meantime, you know, you see all the discussions that are taking place. You see the interactions between the teams, and then they get out there to snap the ball, and they do the right thing. And it's it was you said it right on the head there. It was totally surreal. I've never seen anything quite like that. I mean, we've seen players get hurt on the field before, mm-hmm. but I've never seen the ball get snapped and the team just hang on to it with 14 and a half minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And then I have the clock run down to, I don't know, what was it, 9 minutes or 6 minutes? I forget what the time was.
It ran for 8 minutes.
So to have it go that far down before they finally decided that the game was suspended. And I'm not faulting the NFL in any way here. I was curious as to what – I'd love to know what went behind the decision to either wait that long or what was it? Was it logistics? Was there something else going on? But it seemed quite obvious that this was not going to continue. You knew that 30 seconds into it when they're hanging on to the football and they're just standing across each other talking. But I'm glad they did. And yeah. So I'm not going to make a big deal because I don't think it's worth making a big deal of what the NFL's decision-making process was here. But I'm glad they did what they did. It was awful to see. And if you've been a football fan long enough, you've seen things like this happen.
Yeah,
obviously, the Damar Hamlin situation a couple years ago. And their decision to continue playing that game was kind of crazy, but difference between regular season and preseason, I guess. Still, nonetheless, it was harrowing to go to see the teams go through that and the emotion on the field and off the field as well. It was tough. And then you're just glued to your phone afterwards, trying to get
updates
and seeing what's going on. And then you get the update the day later that he's Maurice Norris posted on his own Instagram. Letting everybody know that he's going to be all right, which is fantastic news.
Being in the dark in terms of information and it is such a difficult position to be. Fans at the field probably had less of a clue than anybody else. They're not seeing replays or hearing what the announcers are providing. I mean, I guess you can get on social media and see a replay eventually. They can see, and some obviously did see, some of the aftermath, which included at one point somebody posted on social media what looked like Maurice Norris in convulsions. But the bottom line here is, the severity of that would make one think that maybe he stopped breathing and that this was a life and death situation. You're right. If you watch football long enough, unfortunately, you're going to see something like this. And it sucks the air out of the balloon, man. You just suddenly don't care about the game. You know, people always say it provides perspective. Everybody always says the same thing, and that's fine. It's just, it's so scary, and thankfully, he's okay. He was here yesterday at the facility, and I suspect he'll be out there today. And who knows the long-term effects of what this means on his career, and who
don't
really
know.
Cares. It's just, it's good that he is healthy.
I mean, you guys, it's surreal things. It takes me back to the mid-90s when Reggie Brown got hurt. And for me, the surreal part of that on the field, the Silverdome, it was against the Jets, was actually the crazy thing about that game, if I'm not mistaken, that's when Barry Sanders went over 2,000 yards.
Went over 2,000 and they clinched the playoffs in all in one day. And
but when Reggie,
the day lost all of its luster.
Yeah. And when Reggie Brown got hurt, the surreal part to me was watching Johnny Morton and Herman Moore sprint from the tunnel, basically, with the gurney to get it out to the field and assist. It was scary situations. Very scary situations.
Okay, well, we will get into what happened on the football field and obviously the baseball field as well, with the Tigers winning a series over the Angels. Kind of a cathartic day. Yesterday, the offense exploding and putting up 9 runs. We'll get to that in a moment. Again, setting the scene here for you. We are at Lions training camp, and we are looking out on the practice fields in a pavilion where there's a bunch of fans in front of us. I'd love to turn the cameras around for those of you watching on Twitch and YouTube, but there are reasons we're not allowed to do that. So we could give you our perspective. It'd be fun just to do the show and stream practice, huh? And give people video, but you can see our broadcast location.
Thanks a lot, Connor Stallions.
Well, the rules were in place far before.
Thanks a lot, New England Patriots.
Yeah, far before those guys were here. But it's we're going to be here actually 3 days this week, and then at the Dream Cruise on Friday. So we'll be missing our guy Kang back in our studios, but we'll be providing you the latest from what's going on out here from the Detroit Lions. Tigers lead us back to 6. My question for you is, did you spend the better part of 20 hours panicking? Because we reached your number. The 14-game lead had dwindled down to when you said you would start to really get concerned. Panic might not be the word, but you would be really concerned if the lead ever got to 5. It got to 5 Saturday. It's back up to 6 after Sunday's results. Can you describe your feelings over that roughly 20-hour time frame?
Doug, a little bit like a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. I ran the gambit a little bit. I was at the game on Saturday, and not real thrilled with what was transpiring about halfway through that game when Morton started to get hit. And, and then I started scoreboard watching, and I saw what the Gribe was doing, and I wasn't thrilled with that either. So, yes, when I got home on Friday night, it wasn't full-blown panic, but it was definitely full-on concern. Anxiety was there, and all I could think about was, I want to see the Tigers play this game on Sunday so badly. Let's go. Let's get it done, get it over with, and hopefully they can win. And maybe somehow, some way, the White Sox find a way to beat Cleveland and get that back to 6, which is exactly what happened. But it was a touch-and-go situation for me, Doug.
Yeah.
That's how I would say, touch-and-go.
Okay. Feeling better today?
I feel better today, yes.
Slightly?
Well, I do feel better, and I feel better that the Tigers are going to take on those same White Sox now.
Yes.
Really? Okay.
All right. Well.
It's disco time.
There's a presentation going on with the cheerleaders, so hopefully they won't be dancing all day.
All it takes is a repositioning of a speaker, and Powers is on it.
Yeah, thank you, Jimmy.
Ish.
Do appreciate it. Well, it's a party out here at practice, as you hear, and players are starting to make their way out onto the field, and we will provide updates throughout the day on what's going on in front of us. And right now, it's cheerleaders dancing for the crowd out here at the Allen Park headquarters.
Forward down the field,
the Detroit Lions.
A charging team that will not yield. All right.
We'll get to our Champ and Chump nominations today at 10:35. Got a question for Tiger fans. We'll discuss the Lions throughout the day, obviously listening to the morning show. It is clear Hendon Hooker is a hot topic with Detroit Lions fans. So all of that to come here on Carson Anderson. And who knows what else? I'm sure they'll be doing yard work in front of us at some point. A helicopter will land. It's Doug Karsh.
Actual lions roaring.
It's Doug Karsh and Scott Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, make Builders First Source your destination for professional window and exterior door installation services. You can add value and beauty to your home with trusted brands like Anderson, Pella, Therma-Tru, and more. Then have your new windows and doors installed properly the first time with their expert Builders First Source installation team. Done right with quality products and services. Visit one of their locations in Clinton Township or Shelby Township or online at buildersfirstsource.com. That's buildersfirstsource.com.